Hello, good evening. My name is Richard. This is Over and Over and Over Again. And England are through to the last 16 of the World Cup. Did it in impressive style as well. That was the performance we've been waiting for, wasn't it? You know, this World Cup's been a bit slow starting for England. But today was back to the lionesses from the Euros, wasn't it? A lot more like that kind of performance today. In case you missed it, England beat China 6-1, win the group. We are through to the last 16. We are going to look at this game. We're also going to look at some of the other games that's gone on in the last few days. Look at how the draw's lining up for the last 16 as well. It's going to be some great stuff. It's all coming up the other side of this great intro with music from Pete Drake. Lionesses, you come so far, but don't forget who you are. Your boots to yours, but also ours, giving hope to rising stars. Lionesses, here we go. Fantastic song that is there, Pete Drake's World Cup song. Brilliant, brilliant stuff again from him. And joining us is Andreas, of course, as always. How are you doing, Andreas? Good to see you.
Yeah, good evening, everybody. Yeah, I'm not bad at all. And yeah, always a pleasure to be here. And I think we can be relaxed tonight. And it's more easy to talk about the matches after such a good performance from the Lionesses and being through the group stage. So will be a relaxed talk tonight.
It will, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, I wouldn't say we've been unimpressed by England before today, but it's been a little bit of a struggle. It's not been the same England team that we'd got used to seeing over the last couple of years or so. And, you know, we got the results that we needed in the previous two games. But today, that for me felt more like the Lionesses from last summer. That was the sort of performance that you would have expected. If that game today had been played last time in the Euros, that would have been a normal sort of performance from England, wouldn't it? It's been a little bit unexpected in the last kind of couple of months of how England have been playing, but it all fell into place today. Now, I wanted to touch on to start with, really, obviously, the team lineup without Ciara Walsh. It wasn't Laura Coombs that started, as people had predicted. It was actually Katie Zellum, who I felt was probably the best option anyway. And of course, Rachel Daly moved around again in the team. She can play pretty much anywhere. She could probably play in goal and probably do a good job. I mean, what did you make of the lineup then? Because it was a little bit of a shock, wasn't it? Maybe that it wasn't Coombs that started, it was Zellum instead. But I thought Katie Zellum had a great game today.
Yeah, it was a bit surprising because we all know that Serena doesn't like to change her team much. And now she makes really strong changes. Rachel Daly from number nine to left back and now to left winger. And it was the right decision to bring Katie Zellum on. And Georgia Stanway also a bit of second number six position. The defense was stronger with Jess Carter in central defense. And I think Millie Bright had a very good match. So Serena did everything right. When you make big changes, bring in new players, or Lauren Hemp was back in the team and everything worked. So the coach has done everything right. So we can only be satisfied. This was the match we were waiting for, but this was also the match the team was waiting for. I think scoring six goals after so many matches with one goal, nil goals, only the penalty. Now this helps for the self-confidence, and it was a really good performance and the perfect result at the end of the group stage.
Yeah, it was. And I mean, you could see the difference at the end of the game. The previous two games, though we'd won, the players didn't seem to over-celebrate, almost like they felt disappointed in their performance. Whereas today, you could see at the end of the game how much they celebrated that win, because that they knew that that was a statement performance. And it's the sort of performance that I think, one, you're right, the team have needed that for confidence, definitely. They needed to score some goals. And also, as well, just to put a statement out to the rest of the nations in the World Cup to say, you know, although England have had a few problems and a few struggles, have got a few players missing, we are still up there as one of the best teams in the competition. And we are one of the favourites to go all the way now. And I think we showed that today. You know, it's good to see the squad being used a lot more in this tournament. Obviously, last summer, it was the same 11 started every single game. It worked. We won every single game and no one can have any complaints. But this time it's had to be different because different circumstances as well. And the fact that we've rotated the team a lot more new players have come in. You know, Laura Coombs came in the other day. Katie Azellum came in today. And, yeah, the changes are working. And it almost felt as though it was almost like a slightly different shape to the team today, wasn't it? Playing two sixes as opposed to just Kira Walsh there. And the whole shape of the team had to change around it. And it actually seemed to work. Everything seemed to fall into place. Lucy Bronze was playing much higher up the pitch, almost as a right winger at times, wasn't she? She was so high up the pitch. And you said Rachel Daly was on the left-hand side. She was doing a similar job on that side of the pitch, getting really high up as well. And it did give a lot more freedom to some of their forward players, I felt. And we looked a lot more fluid, didn't we, in attack. And we scored six goals and we had one disallowed. Unfortunately, hit the post. We had two or three other decent chances. We could have scored 10 goals, actually, in this game. And it wouldn't have been unjustified for the performance and the chances that we had. So, yeah, it was definitely the performance that we were waiting for. You know, and it was almost like... I hope we haven't peaked too early because, you know, we've still got hopefully quite a few games left to come in this World Cup. But it was a performance that you're absolutely 100% right. I think they needed that, didn't they, as a team? And wasn't it great to see Alessia Russo get that first goal and how much of a relief you could see? It was a celebration, but it was almost a relief for her, wasn't it? Because it was a great goal, well-taken goal so early in the game. And it was just great to see her get off and running because I think she's been feeling the pressure a little bit of being the number nine and not scoring.
Of course she felt the pressure, but this goal was really her goal. She was the one who had the ball on the left wing, and then she followed the action in the box, and she was at the right position to finish the situation. So this was really her goal and her effort that led to this chance and to the goal. So, of course, was a relief for her. And, as a number nine, you have to score. It's not enough that you work a lot because the team sees the effort from making runs, from working. The coach sees it. But the pressure from outside is growing when you don't score as a number nine. And so this helps her a lot. And I think after this goal, she also had a few really good chances or movements and runs. And it looked as if she has a lot more belief and self-confidence in herself, and this was important. But it's not only Alessia who had a good match. I think taking off Ella Toon and brought more space for Lauren James, and also she's a Chelsea player, but you must say she was the player of the match for me. Fantastic, and she started working in to the back and trying to win balls back and defending too. She had a really, really good match. She scored two fantastic goals, three goals.
Yeah.
So she showed her talent and how important she already can be for this team with 21 years of age.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, she does play for Chelsea, and when she plays for Chelsea, we don't particularly like her. But you have to say, she's having a great tournament. She came into the team against Denmark, scored a great goal to win that game. And I agree, I thought she was the player of the match today, definitely. You know, those goals that she scored were fantastic. But you're right, her all-round play. And I remember when in the build-up to the World Cup, two or three months ago, when we knew that Beth wasn't going to make it, that she wasn't going to be fit, and it was like, who have we got that could replace Beth in the team? Who have we got? And he was looking around thinking, who is there really? Everybody else seemed to be a different type of player, you know, Chloe Kelly and whatever. But Lauren James was the one for me that I thought, if she can actually get it together, she had the potential to become the Beth Mead of this tournament, I felt, because she can score goals. And, you know, she can create goals. She can run with a ball. She can take people on, and she's got all the attributes. It's just that she was always very inconsistent with her final ball, wasn't she? You know, she'd pass when she should shoot when she should pass, and not always make the right decisions when it mattered. But in the last two games she's coming in the World Cup, she's been brilliant. And if she carries this form on and England go a long way in this tournament, then she'll be in with a chance of player of the tournament, won't she? Because she's been a real standout player. in these last two games. She's been brilliant. You know, she's got three goals. She could have had four goals, as you said. I mean, we'll talk about the VAR in a minute as well, because there was a few, a lot of VAR stuff going on today. But yeah, Lauren James, you have to say, you know, hats off to her. She's been brilliant. Absolutely fantastic. And, you know, it's what England have needed, that player, to somebody to step up and you know, go beyond their level that you would expect them to do. And Lauren James has been the one. And she is now, she's the first name on that team sheet for the next game, isn't she? Quite obviously now. You can't leave her out. Absolutely not. And, you know, she's had to work hard to get in the team. She's maybe been a bit lucky with certain injuries. She's got an opportunity and she's taken it. And, well, what more can you do? Fantastic. And now she's such a key player to this team now, I think. And, yeah, she was brilliant today. Absolutely brilliant. Again, you know, once again, she's brilliant. So, yeah, maybe this is her tournament. Maybe it's going to be Lauren James's World Cup. Who knows? But it's certainly going well for her so far. Russ in the chat, he says, hi, mate. I didn't see the game, but judging by the score, it was a bit one-sided. Obviously, it was a one-sided game. England dominated. I mean, I don't know what the possession was. We must have had 75% at least, I would imagine, over the game. But it was a very, very good England performance. And yes, China wasn't particularly great. Let's be honest, they wasn't a great side. But I think the way England played today, especially in the first half, we would have been a match for anybody in this tournament. I think that was one of the. And I said it when the watch along was on earlier. I think that over 90 minutes, that was one of, if not the most impressive team performance so far at this World Cup, I think, from what I've seen. I've not seen all the games, so I've probably missed one or two, and maybe other people might disagree. But I think that was the strongest team performance from front to back that I've seen in this World Cup from anybody, you know, because China are, you know, it's not the best China team ever. They're not a bad side, you know, they're you know, and we made them look very, very average and ordinary. And that was credit to the way that we played today. And I thought it was brilliant. But yeah, it was. In the end, it turned out to be one-sided. Certainly more one-sided than we were anticipating. Terry's in the chat, as always, said, good evening, Richard. And the one and only man of mystery, Andreas. Come on, you England girls, getting it. Yeah, it was a great game, wasn't it? Terry says, Katie Dellen played like she's been a regular. Very impressed with her today. Yeah, I must admit, she was. What she did was got the ball, passed it, simply and easily. She didn't try and do anything clever. She just did a simple job. And then as the game went on, you could see her growing in confidence. And then she was maybe trying a few longer passes, and she was trying one or two little other bits and pieces. But she had almost a perfect performance to come in under the pressure that she must have felt to be replacing Kira Walsh, who everybody knows is probably one of the best players in that position in the world. And she came in, and I thought she was brilliant today. Really, really good. So, yeah, massive credit to her for that job. And let's hope now that she can continue that throughout the rest of the games that she has to play. Because, again, another player stepping in maybe wasn't expected to maybe play too much of a part in this World Cup. And suddenly now, again, she could prove to be almost undroppable out of the team on her performance today, because you must have been impressed with Katie Zellum today, Andreas. She was good, wasn't she?
Yes, she was really good. And to be honest, I was surprised how good she came into this match from the very beginning. Of course, she had a good season at United, but how can I say this? Her performance for United in the WSL was not so that you would say she must play in the Lionesses squad. Yeah. I was surprised how good she came into the match and how good she did this job. She had one task, to play number six and get. Win the ball back, pass quickly, and be the last line before the defense, and she did this really perfect. And while we're talking about ball possession, etc., I have the statistics checked now. We had 74% ball possession. That's impressive, and we had 70 shots. China had 7, and shots on target 7 for us and 3 for China. So this says everything about the match. If you have 74% ball possession and score 6 goals, so by 7 shots on target, so it was nearly a perfect match. And and the good thing is that other players who were not at their best so far in the tournament, like Millie Bright and Lucy Bronze, I think they stepped up in this match, really. It was Millie's best performance so far. She was the one to win the ball back for, I think, the first and the second goal. Lucy was good in defense, and as you said, she was nearly the right winger. So and had chances with headers, and yeah, this was a Lucy Bronze performance as we know from her best times. So of course this helps when you have such experienced players like Lucy and Millie stepping up, a new player coming in like Katie Sellum and performing very well. Also credit to Lauren Hemp. She was out for one match, and I think she was much better than in the first match in this World Cup. So, yeah, this match was really better from everybody, and the initial performance for the way through this tournament. I hope so.
Yeah, I mean, I think we are going to face tougher tests going forward than we did today against China. There's no doubt about that, and we're going to have to perform equally as well as today if we're going to go all the way in this tournament, which, you know, we've shown that we can do it. We're capable of doing it. And I've had a few doubts about whether the team with the players we've got missing, whether or not this team were capable of still producing these type of performances when it mattered in a World Cup. And they showed today that they can. And yes, you know, China wasn't very good. Let's be clear about that. But we made them what they were as well. The way that we played made them a lot worse. I mean, you know, Denmark struggled to beat them, didn't they? So, you know, Haiti almost got a result against them. You know, and so, you know, we showed exactly what we needed to do against this opposition, and we completely dominated that game. So, yeah, 74%, there you go. And sometimes you can have 74% possession and not score enough goals because you're not clinical enough. But today, we made the most of that 75% possession, didn't we, with six goals. Seven shots on target. I can't remember the one that missed them. What was the one on target? I don't remember their goalie making a save, but maybe there was one. I can't remember now. Unless it was a goal that was disallowed. Maybe they've counted that as a shot on target. Must be, because I can't remember the goal he made me save. But anyway, that's clinical, isn't it? Six goals from seven shots on target, that is clinical. So, and they were all good goals as well, wasn't they? Well taken. Well, some of them were really well created as well. Some great team moves. You know, the ball from Lauren James for Lauren Hemp's goal, and a lovely first touch from Lauren Hemp. Beautiful finish. That was a great goal. We spoke about the Russo goal already. That was a really good finish. Good touch, good finish. You know, obviously all of Lauren James's goals were something special, wasn't they? You know, it's almost like that's becoming a trademark now, isn't it? Curling that ball into the far corner. She's got that on point, hasn't she? Every time she gets the ball, you think she's going to put it in there. And today, they were great goals. Even Rachel Daly's goal at the end. I know maybe Chloe Kelly's goal was a little bit fortunate, wasn't it? I suppose the goalie didn't exactly cover herself in glory on that one, but the goalkeeper mistake. But you know, these things, you know, when things are going your way and you know you're putting pressure on the opposition, mistakes happen, and I think that was part of it as well. But yeah, some good goals, well worked, well finished, and really, really good overall performance. Terry says, as you know, I'm not a Lauren James fan. Well, none of us were particularly, you know, especially when she's at Chelsea all the time. He said, but she's done very well. But will she do it against the bigger teams? So yeah, that's still going to be the question mark, isn't it? Because so far, yeah, I mean, Denmark aren't a bad side, but they're not one of the top teams, are they? China, as we saw. But yeah, can she do it in the knockout games against the big teams? That's the question. We'll only know the answer to that in the next few weeks, a couple of weeks, won't we, when we start playing the games. But you can't leave her out of the team at the moment. You know, she's absolutely on fire. And I think there's going to be a lot of defences in this World Cup that will be worried about facing Lauren James at the moment, because she literally can do anything. You know, she's strong, she's quick, she's got great feet. And she's shown that she can finish as well. So, let's hope that, you know, let's hope that she can keep producing, because, yeah, brilliant. But I agree. When the season starts, she's back at Chelsea, we'll go back to not liking her again. That's fine. But for the next couple of weeks, we're going to be really behind her because she's playing really well. So we did touch on the VAR a bit earlier, but there was, I mean, this has to be probably the longest game in the World Cup. Was there 10 minutes of stoppages in the first half and nearly 12 in the second half, wherever it was? You know, the game didn't last forever. So much stoppage time. And most of it wasn't to do with injuries. It was to do with VAR, wasn't it? And it wasn't so much some of the, you know, fair enough, the decisions have to go to VAR, and you can understand that. It was how long they took to reach the decision that was the problem in this game particularly, wasn't it? They seemed to take ages to come to a decision. And some of the decisions in the end, they still appear to have got wrong. I mean, the first obvious one was the fourth goal England should have got before half time with their Lauren James goal. Brilliant finish it was. And obviously it was given as offside against Lucy Bronze in what was technically phase one of play. And then in phase two of play, she was onside. So technically it should have been a goal and they disallowed it. I mean, what did you make of that? That should have been a goal, shouldn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I saw the replay and I knew that this goal will be disallowed. But when you see the scene, you can't see any offside position. Of course, when you see it again and again, and then they stop it and you can see, okay, Lucy is offside. But then I think the game continues and it's a new situation when she has the ball. Of course, it was not. There was no set piece or something between. So they said it's the same situation. But it was. I felt it was a lot later when she touches the ball. She was not offside. She came from the offside. But I don't know if this is offside. Then we can't continue playing. We must stop every situation and analyze it. Where did she come from? Did she stand 1 minute before she was standing offside? And then she... I don't think that this should have been disallowed. This is the dilemma of this VAR situation. It should help, but very often I think it destroys the game because it destroys emotions. This was a goal. Everybody was celebrating. I haven't seen the Chinese players saying something against it or protesting against it. And then the referee said, I got a signal. And then waiting, all the emotions are down again. So,
yeah, I mean, I think that was a typical example of where VAR has failed football in general. Where it has failed the crowd in the stadium, it's failing the players and obviously the audience watching on the TV. And that was a typical example. In fact, this game probably was in general, wasn't it? I mean, there has been occasions when VAR has worked and it's worked well and it's come up with the right solutions quickly and it's overturned the wrong decision. That's what you want to see and that's fine. But when they're taking 5 minutes to come to a decision that's wrong in the first place, the goal was given initially because the linesman didn't flag, the referee gave the goal, and unless there was something seriously amiss, it should have stood because you should only overrule if it's a clear and obvious mistake, as they called it. And it wasn't because, yes, Lucy was standing in offside position when the original ball came in, but she didn't get involved in that part of the game. It was only when the ball got recycled back in, at which point she's onside, that she's active in the play. But by that point, it is a different phase of play, no matter what they say. You know, once one ball comes into the box and it's cleared, that's phase one. Phase two is when the ball comes back into the box. Is she offside then? No. Goal. It has to be a goal. And it was ridiculous that got ruled out. In the end, it was a goal that wasn't important in the game. We were 3-0 up. It was just coming up to half time. Yeah, I mean, Lauren James was obviously disappointed that it was ruled off because she would have had a hat-trick, as it turned out. But yeah, it's, I don't know, we can't let these type of mistakes happen in tournaments this big. You know, this is a big, massive, it's the World Cup, you know, and it's a big tournament for women's football, you know, in front of the world stage. And they can't be not only getting these decisions wrong with VAR, but taking this long to get it wrong. It's just, you know, VAR didn't even need to get involved in that, really, did they? They could have had a quick look at it and say, okay, yeah, she was offside, but different phase of play, onside, goal. That's it. She took 10 seconds, 20 seconds to decide. And they spent 5 minutes looking at it, re-looking at it again, probably deciding, was she active in play? And I was actually amazed when they reached the decision to disallow the goal. I didn't see how they could possibly have done it. We saw 5 or 6 replays at the time while they were waiting. They kept showing replays of it. It was obvious it should have been a goal. And they come to the decision to disallow it. I mean... And then, of course, Lucy again on the end of another decision in the second half on VAR with the penalty. And again, I still can't for the life of me understand how VAR came to the decision to give that as a penalty when she's her arm by, she moved her arm away from the ball, which surely is not a penalty. She moved it out towards the ball. Fair enough. You can say maybe even a red card because he's right in front of the goal. But her arm's by, in fact, she's moved her arm away from the ball to move it out of the way. Yes, it probably did hit her arm. If you look at it, it probably did. But in those circumstances, that's not a penalty. Surely that's not a penalty. I mean, what did you make of that one?
I would not agree with you. I think it was a clear handball, and it was 1 meter before the goal line. So the ball hit her arm. So I think in this situation, the referee or the VAR has no other chance. When they see it, they must give a penalty. It's an unlucky situation, but in the other situation with the disallowed goal, I would wish that the referee, when she has the chance to see the pictures on the screen, and then she sees it and says, "Okay, my decision stands." Mm-hmm. Of course, the VAR can say, "Oh, there is a situation that must be checked. Check it. It was an offside," and then the referee checks it, looks at it and says, "Okay, my decision stands. Let's continue." Because she saw it. The lineswoman saw it too. And both said no offside. So why not saying, "Oh, goal. Decision stands." This handball situation, it was just unlucky. But it was similar to the handball situation in the final, in the Euro final last year. When Leah Williamson got the ball on her arm, on her hand. And we were lucky there that this was not a penalty. And if this, I think you can give this penalty. I know what you mean. She tried to take her arm away, but she was unlucky that this was not enough and the ball hit her arm. Although, so...
Yeah, I don't know whether or not they've changed the rules, but I seem to remember at some stage it was like if you've made your body bigger as a barrier to stop the ball by moving your arm outwards, then obviously that you're gaining an advantage and that's a penalty and potentially a red card in the circumstances. And whereas that wasn't what Lucy was doing at all. She was doing the total opposite of that. She was trying to make her body smaller and get out of the way. And it did hit her arm. I don't think you can... There's not a doubt if it was handball or not. What was a doubt is that a penalty with the rules of the game as they are? I don't really know exactly what the rules are, whether they've changed them or not. Maybe they just need to make it clear. If it hits your arm in a penalty, it's a penalty, that's it. And then there's no question. You don't even need VAR. It hits her arm, it's a penalty, that's it. But as I understood the rule to be, if you was making your body bigger, a bigger area of your body by moving your arms out and the ball hits your arm, or you're jumping with your hand in the air, and like there was one given for us against Haiti, wasn't it? You know, jumping up and with your arm in the air, and you're making your body bigger, aren't you? So of course that's an advantage. You're gaining an advantage, aren't you? The Maradona one, of course, a famous example of that. So that should be a penalty 100% every single time, no question. But this one, she wasn't doing that. She was trying to get out of the way and make a move. She purposely moved her arm almost behind her body as the ball came towards her because she knew it was probably going to hit her arm and she wanted to try and stop it. So I thought it was, if the referee didn't give it at the time, which he didn't, it shouldn't have been overturned because it wasn't, to me, it wasn't enough to have been a penalty. She wasn't trying to gain an advantage from it. The fact that, you know, Mary Earps was standing directly behind her would have just caught the ball anyway if Lucy wasn't there. It's not like it stopped the goal going or anything like that. But anyway, it was given as a penalty. And our clean sheet record for the tournament was ended as a result of that. But I thought they were both, I don't know, I thought VAR shouldn't be making decisions like that. That, to me, are not the correct decision. Yeah, I can understand what you're saying about it did hit her arm and she's in the penalty area, but I'm not sure if that's just the rule, is it? As it, I don't know, unless they've changed it. If any handball is a penalty, then that's a penalty. If only certain handballs, if you're looking to get an advantage by a handball, is a penalty, then that wasn't a penalty. So I don't know, but anyway, it was given. China scored, and for 5 minutes they had their tails up a little bit, didn't they? But they were never going to get back into the game, were they? But yeah, some very, very, again, the time it took to reach that decision was, again, a problem, wasn't it? Not the fact, even if they got it right or wrong, it is up for debate, I guess. I mean, we kind of can't decide for ourselves. You know, you think it probably was a penalty. I'm not sure it was. It's difficult to say what's right and wrong, which is fair enough. But to take that long to come to the decision is a bigger problem for me, because they've got to do it a lot quicker. The fact that it wasn't an obvious mistake by the referee on the pitch, was it? Because it could have been either. It could have gone either way, and you could say either decision's correct. So go with what the referee's given initially, I would say, and that's it, and don't change it. They did, and that was that, really. But there you go. Terry says, I think we should play Bronze in goal next time. Brilliant save. Well, I mean, it wasn't, was it? I mean, she's trying to move out of the way of it, to be fair. Lucy must have felt a little bit frustrated with VAR today, because, you know, the two decisions in the game on VAR both went against her, didn't they, ultimately? So she must have felt a bit frustrated with it. But it didn't matter too much in the end, but it matters more for the game in general, doesn't it? You know, the eyes of the world are on this World Cup, because it's the biggest women's tournament ever, isn't it? You look at the number of teams in it, the audience that's watching it throughout the world, everything else. And for VAR to be making such a mockery of the whole thing, again, they've done it a few times in this tournament. It's not just today that this happened, in other games as well. And it's not helping. It's not helping the situation, is it? It's not helping women's football. It's not helping football in general. And it's just, it's, I don't know. They're not going to take it away, unfortunately. And it's been here, what, 3 or 4 years now? It's not like it's new. It's a new technology. You thought they should have been able to iron out the issues by now and had it working effectively. And they don't seem to have been able to do it still. But anyway, it is what it is. And we have to make any difference to the overall outcome of the game. But in future games, it might do, mightn't it? We could have two decisions like that and knock us out of the World Cup in future games. It could happen, couldn't it? You know, a goal disallowed, a penalty against you in the same game, that could cost you in a knockout game. So, you know, we can be okay about it today because we won 6-1 and it didn't matter too much. But in other games, it might not be like that. You know, it could end up, VAR could end up deciding the result, which it shouldn't do. Terry says, both VAR decisions today were terrible. But the yellow card, absolute joke. Yeah, I mean, it was, yeah. I mean, completely. And there were some people saying she should have got a red card. I don't know how she could get a red card. I mean, she wasn't trying to stop the ball with her hand, was she? So, but anyway, yeah. There were so many strange decisions today in that game by the referee, who didn't seem to really know what she was doing, unfortunately. I say it didn't matter today, but you need to look at the bigger picture overall is, it could prove to be decisive, not necessarily for us, but for someone else. Someone else might suffer getting knocked out due to a couple of crazy decisions, and that shouldn't be what happens. You know, sport should be about the best competitor on the day wins because they deserve to win, or they have a little bit of luck, whatever it is. It shouldn't be decided by the referees. It shouldn't be. And that would be wrong if that was to happen in a really big game. So luckily, affect too much going forward. Overall, it was a brilliant England performance, it's what we've been waiting for, and it felt great. It almost felt like our England were back, didn't it, today? You know, Serena's England were back. You know, everyone had a smile on their face. The players were enjoying themselves. Serena was enjoying herself, and we've looked under pressure, actually, haven't we? The tension seems to have been so strong, and today it was all released, wasn't it? And it all flowed, and everybody was happy, and let's hope that has ended all that pressure now. We can move forward with a lot of confidence and really fly from here, because that's the impression I got. That's more likely to happen now, isn't it? Having seen that game, just seeing Serena smiling again was nice, wasn't it?
Yeah. The commentator on German TV said, finally she is smiling. A few minutes before, he said, Serena is never satisfied. You will never see her smile. And then after, I think it was the fourth or fifth goal, where she was really, you could see how happy she was that everything worked. And it was a big relief for the whole team and for us too. I think we're now looking forward to the knockout stage with a lot more confidence or belief that something could be possible.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's what... you know, it's the best way, isn't it? I know last week when we spoke, we were sort of saying, well, you know, if England will win 1-0 against China, that's fine. But actually, to go into the knockout stage on the back of a result like this and a performance like this could be massive, couldn't it, for the team moving forward? And I think that was more important than anything else today as well. I think you could see the relief from everybody that finally it's come together for us, you know, and in that final third particularly, where it's not really happened for us for a long time, and finally today it did, you know, things were flying in. Yeah, I don't think that the Chinese goalkeeper covered herself in much glory, if we're honest, but you know, there were great finishes. Not many goalies would have saved most of them goals today. So, you know, I don't think that's certainly not the reason why we scored so many goals. So, yeah, we go in now, of course, on Monday. And we know our opponents already, of course. It's Nigeria, isn't it, who beat Australia in the group stage a week or so ago. What are your kind of thoughts on Nigeria? Because I think they'll be tricky opponents, actually, because they're strong physical team. They've got power. They've got pace. And they, you know, they can score goals as well, as they've proved in the group. So it's not going to be easy, is it? But it's not a bad, it could have been worse, couldn't it? I suppose, you know, playing the host would have been more tricky, I think. Although Nigeria beat Australia, I think playing the host is a difficult at any World Cup, isn't it? Especially an Australia team that will probably have Sam Kerr back, who's going to be desperate for some goals. So what do you make of Nigeria? What do you make of our chances of beating them?
Yeah. Don't underestimate Nigeria, but if you would have asked before and had to choose between Australia, Canada and Nigeria, I think we all would have chosen Nigeria as opponent. So, they did a good job in group stage. Otherwise, they wouldn't have qualified against the Olympic champion, Canada. And they have, as you said, Oshuala from Barcelona. Yeah, they are a team with a lot of pace and they will play very physical, I think. But if we play like we did today, then we don't have to fear any team and of course not Nigeria. It's it's a knockout match, so I don't think there will be any way of underestimating them. We will take them serious. Serena will take Nigeria very serious and prepared team. And we go with a lot of confidence and belief in our strength in this match. So, we must be aware how dangerous they can be. I think we will have about 60 or 65% ball position again. We'll be the dominating team, but we have to take care of course, of Oshuala and the others with counter-attacks. This can be dangerous, but if we control the match, if we bring in our strength and the way we play today, then normally we have the better team and normally we should win. If you look on the table, which opponents already qualified, this is one of the better draws we have now.
Yeah, I mean, it is. And like you said, out of the three potential teams that we could have faced out of Group B, Nigeria would have been the one we would all have chosen, because we wouldn't have really wanted Canada. We didn't realise how poor they were going to be necessarily, but we wouldn't have probably wanted them before. And certainly you don't want the host, as I said. So, yeah, it is. It does look a good draw. And we need to make the most of it, obviously. It's no good getting a good draw and then not taking advantage of that fact. And I don't think it's going to be an easy game. I think it will. You're right. They're going to be very physical, Nigeria. They're going to try and throw us out of our rhythm. And I think they're going to try and frustrate us as much as they can. And they're going to be dangerous on the counter-attack. Definitely they are. If we are sloppy in possession as we were in the first two games at times, then Nigeria are more likely to punish us than Denmark or Haiti were. So, you know, we need to be aware of that as well. We can't give the ball away in dangerous areas because they'll counter quickly. We should be too strong. We are a better team than Nigeria. The world rankings show it. Everything shows it. Individually, they've got some good individual players, Nigeria, but we've got the better individual players as well. We're the better team and we should win. I know football doesn't always work like that, especially knockout tournament football, but We'll see. Terry says there, Nigeria do have a lot of pace up front. They do, yeah. And a very good defender who's also quick. Yeah, they do. The one thing with Nigeria is, although they've done really well to get through the group, I've watched a couple of their games, and I think they're quite vulnerable defensively. I think we'll be able to cause them a lot of problems. We'll create chances against them. And I think defensively, they're not the strongest team that's in the last 16. So I think we've got a chance there. But yeah, we're going to have to be switched on, because they have a threat of going forward as well, aren't they? So that's going to be, they're going to play on a counter-attack, aren't they? Clearly, they're going to try and, you know, force mistakes, turn over the ball quickly, and then use the pace that they've got to try to cause us problems. So we're going to have to be aware. I'm sure Serena will have a plan. I'm sure she will. She definitely will. So Terry says, I still think it will be 5-1 Russo hat-trick if we start giving her some better passes. I mean, to be fair, today, her performance today, actually, Russo, she wasn't necessarily always getting into the box to get on the end of things. She was dropping deep. She was going wide. She was getting on the ball. She had her best game in the World Cup today, like many of them did, actually. So I don't necessarily think it's just about creating the chances necessarily for her. I think she's not a 6-yard box player, is she? She's more gets involved in the whole of the build-up play, and she's going to keep doing that. And if we just get her on the ball and let her do what she did today, then I'm sure she'd cause Nigeria a lot of problems. But obviously, Lauren James is going to be key, isn't she, in that game? You know, she's probably quite well suited to the Nigerian style, isn't she? Because she's quick, she's strong, she's good on the ball. That's kind of how a lot of their individual players are like, aren't they? She would fit into their probably team as well. You know what I mean? So I think she could be a useful asset to us to counteract what they do. So, but yeah, if we play anywhere near our top level, anywhere near how we did today, we should be too strong for Nigeria, shouldn't we? We should be. Anything can happen in a knockout game of football, but I'm confident that we'll do it on Monday. Wayne says there, Russo was running the channels too. She was a busybody, a little bit Gabriel Jesus. Yeah, she was. Today, she was literally everywhere, wasn't she? She was running all the way across the front line. She was popped up on both wings. She wasn't necessarily in the box as much. Yeah, a bit like Gabriel Jesus, you're right. And he does a similar job. And then he's not always in the box, is he, when the ball's there to finish him off. And, you know, Russo got a goal today, which was great. But, you know, if she was more of a penalty box striker, she might have had a couple of goals today, because the ball was in there quite a lot, wasn't it? You know, and she may have benefited from that. But yeah, maybe that's not her style. We'll have to see how it works out at Arsenal, how she fits in with how we play. But yeah, she had a great performance today. Really good performance. And it was great to see her obviously get that goal as well. But yeah, she was running the channels a lot. Yeah, that's pretty much what she did most of the game, didn't she? She did more of that, a lot more of that than getting in the box and getting on the end of stuff. But it was a great performance and she got her goal, so that's fine. So yeah, I think we're all pretty confident that we'll beat Nigeria. I mean, what would you say, an early score prediction then, Andreas? What do you think the score will be against Nigeria?
Yeah, it won't be so easy as today. And yeah, they are a dangerous team, and I think maybe Oshoala, she will score one. I don't think we'll have a clean sheet, but we will score more. We will create more chances, and if we are so clinical as today with 7 shots on target and 6 goals, then we should win. Yeah, let's be optimistic, and I say 3-1 for us. This wouldn't be the worst.
Oh. No. Well, I mean, obviously, in knockout football, we'll take a scrappy 1-0 because getting through winning the game is all that matters. But I agree. I do think that we've got the potential to score more goals against Nigeria's defence. And I think we will do. I agree. I was kind of thinking 3-1 as well. I think they may well score, because I do think they're going to pose a lot more of a threat going forward than anyone that we've faced so far. So, yeah, I mean, I think 3-1's a decent shout. And I'll probably say something similar to that, because that's how I can see the game panning out, actually. Wayne says, yeah, 2-0. I don't want to concede. But Oshoala is a good striker. Yeah, she's a very good striker. Yep. Yeah, she's had a good World Cup as well. So she's obviously the threat. Not the only threat they've got, but yeah, I don't want to concede a goal. I got a bit annoyed today when they got the penalty, because it ended our run of clean sheets. But if we're going to score 3 goals, we can let them have 1, can't we, I suppose, if we have to. But yeah, I mean, It should be an interesting game with slightly contrasting styles, as it tends to be when African nations play European nations anyway, generally. So it's going to be a good game to watch, I'm sure. And I'm confident as well that we'll get the result that we need. And we'll be in a quarterfinal, but we'll have to wait and see. Now, the last 16, obviously, there's still a few groups to be decided still, obviously. We're only, you know, about halfway through the kind of the final round of group games, aren't we? So there's still a few teams to be decided. And, of course, one team that aren't through yet is, of course, Germany, who have had their own problems in the last few days, in their last game, of course, that they lost. And they're by no means certain of qualifying. Despite winning their first game 6-0, they could still actually get knocked out, which would be incredible, wouldn't it? I mean, what have you made of, obviously, the performance the other night wasn't great, was it, from Germany? Let's be honest, that was quite poor in actual fact. They should still qualify, though, shouldn't they?
I'm convinced that Germany will beat South Korea. But the match against Colombia was disappointing. It was a real poor performance. And it was surprising. The result was surprising. But as I said, you can't say that they didn't deserve the win. Colombia played for their possibilities, for what they can do. They did it perfect. And I don't think that the lineup was the best to bring a winger as defender, Sven Yahoud, and then a midfielder on the other defense side, on the left back position. This was not good. The midfield is not creative enough. Yeah, no ideas, not creating chances. The two chances in first half came by lucky chance when Alex Popp got the ball. It was just bad defended, and was luck that the ball came to her. And what did she make out of this? Or the other situation when Nina Magol didn't hit the ball, I think about two chances for Germany. And of course the situation for the penalty. This was one good move and everything. And Lena Oberdorf was the best player. She was very good in defense as always, but she was also the most dangerous attacker. And as a number six, this says enough. Alex Popp had a bad game. They came out from halftime and looked, uninspired, tired. And the two goals from Colombia were brilliant. The first one from Caicedo, a fantastic goal, but also very bad defended. Sven Yahoud and Sara Debritz were standing there and watching. There was no pressure on Caicedo. Sara Debritz with her arms in the back, just waiting for the shot. And the second goal, if you have a bad performance and really bad match, then you must say, okay, let's take the draw and get out of this match. We have the better goal difference, and we have 4 points. But Germany tried to go for the second goal and was open in defense. The corner was not necessary, and how they defended the corner was very, very poor. And if they... if they continue this way, then they won't go far in the tournament, I think. So, yeah, I'm convinced that Germany will win against South Korea and qualify. But then they will probably face France. Let's hope that Richard will be back soon. Otherwise, I'm alone here in the show. So, if Germany qualifies as second, they will face France. And I think France had a good second match. Welcome back.
I just got kicked out. I don't know what's happening here. Is my camera working or not? I can't see what's happening.
You were out. I was afraid I have to finish the show alone.
No, I don't know. It just seemed to kick me out. Suddenly my screen just went blank. I don't know what's happening there. But anyway, I don't know what's happened. But anyway, it's let me back in, which is the main thing. Hang on. So I can't see what's happening here. Anyway.
Yeah, I was talking about Germany facing France in round of 16, and this will be a tough one if Germany finishes second. But I think Colombia needs only 1 point to win the group, so probably Colombia will then face Brazil, maybe, and Germany against France. But the good thing would be if Germany finishes second, then there will be no match Lionesses against Germany in quarterfinals.
Well, yeah, that's a possibility, isn't it? I mean, at this moment in time, I mean, Germany have still got work to do. Yeah, I agree. I do think they should beat South Korea, let's be honest. They should do. But, you know, stranger things have happened in football. But, yeah, they are probably going to finish second in the group. And then if they finish for them in the last 16, isn't it? And who knows, that they're going to have to improve if they're going to go a long way into this World Cup. You know, they had a few problems coming into the tournament, didn't they, with a few of the results that they had. So maybe it's not their time this year. We'll have to see what happens on that one there. LG says there, I thought Andreas is German. Andreas is German, but he's almost English as well now, so it's fine. It's always not. Exactly. LG says the Colombian loss was not a shock. It has been coming. Germany came into the tournament not in the best of form. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Poor against Vietnam, losing against Zambia in the pre-tournament phase. Yeah, they were. But then England wasn't in the best form coming in either, were we? So it's not like, you know, you can. Germany, usually when it comes to a tournament, they generally are there or thereabouts, aren't they? Because they kind of work towards playing in the tournaments themselves. Whereas, you know, it certainly didn't work the other day. But, you know, one defeat in the group doesn't necessarily mean you can't go on and win a World Cup, does it? So, you know, I'm sure they'll still figure out they can. Bongo Goon has got a comment there, which Andreas probably understands, which I probably don't. But there you go.
This is normally against Bayern Munich, because Lido was this special dressing for the Bavarian and... The other teams in the men's Bundesliga, they always sing "Zieht den Bayern die Lederhosen aus." Take away the Lederhosen, the pants from them. So.
Oh, all right, okay, excellent. Okay, good. I mean, that was pretty good. And Bob Aguirre says, in something that we can maybe understand a bit better, he says, "Yes, doing fine. Busy painting my Warhammer figures today." So actually, just listen. No, that's good. Good to see that you're listening to us as well. Where you? Cracking on. Terry says, we all know Germany will probably get to the semi-finals at least. They're still too strong for most things. Yeah, exactly. That's what I say. Once it comes to tournaments, they generally get it right. And one defeat in a group match, I say plenty of teams have lost group games and still won World Cups, haven't they, or got to finals and stuff. So it isn't going to decide how things go. But if I was looking at that performance, it was worrying, wasn't it? It was a worrying performance, how bad they played. And you don't get a lot of time to put them things right in a World Cup, do you? Because the next game's coming quickly, and then you've got a knockout game after that, and you can't get it wrong then, because if you do, that's the end, isn't it? But yeah, Germany don't often get it wrong, do they, when it matters? Bongadonia says, didn't the men lose to South Korea versus Germany in the World Cup? They did, actually. Yeah, you're right. They did. I remember that, actually. Yeah, they did lose to South Korea. LG says, Martina Voss tinkers too much with the squad. Yeah, potentially. Do you agree with that, Andreas?
The problem is I don't see a clear strategy from her or tactical ideas. After all these bad friendlies we had, she always said, we were not good. We know that we were not good. We saw our mistakes and we will work on them. And next match, we will do better. But next match, they didn't do better. Of course, there was this 6-0 against Morocco. But what is Morocco? We saw in this tournament how Vietnam was beaten 7-0 from Netherlands. And Germany just won 2-1 against Vietnam with a lot of luck. Zambia was one of the weakest team in the World Cup. Zambia won 2-1 against Germany. So, and every time Martina Voss-Tecklenburg says, oh, we know what we did wrong and we will do better next time. And this is what makes me concerned. Does she really know how to do better? And there are players that never get a chance, like Laura Freigang or Sydney Lohmann. They had brilliant season in German Bundesliga. They never get a chance. She always plays the same Wolfsburg players. Once again, seven players from Wolfsburg. And then afterwards, it said, it's a national team and they must find together. Seven players from the same team, they must not find together or don't know where the others are running or make their runs. They know each other. And therefore, the performance wasn't good. Maybe the 6-0, it was not good to win 6-0 against Morocco because everybody thought, Germany is going through and all the players are saying we are here to become world champion. Yeah, just wait. Just win your matches and then you can say we want to win the title. The same with the USA, but maybe we talk about them later.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, isn't it? Because it does seem as though some of the more fancied nations have had some problems in the group stage, haven't they? One thing or another, you know, some of the performances haven't been great. USA kind of muddled their way through today a little bit, didn't they? You know, Germany have still got to get a result in their last game to go through. And yes, Spain lost 4-0 to Japan. Were they that bothered? Because maybe second spot in that group suited them a little bit better, you do feel, maybe a little bit, but I thought Japan played really well. They've all seemed to have had a few issues. You know, in England took a bit of criticism for those first two games, but we got two wins and now we've got three wins. And so far, it's only us and Japan that have won all three games in the group. Mm-hmm. A couple of other teams have got the opportunity to do that later on in the week. Sweden in particular look as though they may well be able to do that. But it's not easy to win all three games, as we've seen some of the bigger nations. And, you know, after the first round of games, you know, we struggled a little bit to beat Haiti, as we know. You know, Germany rattled in six goals. Spain had a really good performance, didn't they? You know, America won easily. And I was starting to think that, I mean, I think we said on here, didn't we? Is it not England's time? Is it just not England's time this year? But as the next couple of games have gone on, suddenly it's looking as though these other bigger nations or fancied nations have got problems and they're struggling, and we're suddenly growing stronger, it seems. So things have turned around in a week or so, haven't they, really? Quite dramatically in terms of where I think we are now in this tournament in relation to the other teams. You know, looking at, I know you can't judge anybody on one group game, but if you look at the last couple of group games, for example, I would fancy our chances against Germany or USA. I would really strongly fancy our chances of beating both of them, which we wouldn't have said that a week ago, would we? Probably.
Yeah, it's totally changed, and you see how the big nations have their problems. I think USA was really, really lucky to go through with this 0-0 draw and this shot on post in stoppage time. They would have been out as title defenders, and they couldn't have said that it was not deserved, because it was a weak performance with not enough pressure, and I don't understand why Alex Morgan was the player of the match. There's a lot to improve for the USA there, and Spain, as good as they were in the first matches, they had nearly 80% ball possession against Japan. And what was the result? 4-0 for Japan. So Japan is just impressing how they play, how they follow their tactical ideas, and winning the ball, and then 1-2 passes, and they are so quick and clinical in finish. So Spain is struggling, and others too. Norway, of course, their third match was good, but they have their problems. So, maybe it's good that the Lionesses had a weaker start, but maybe this match was now the initial to grow into the tournament, and everything is possible. There is no team that we have to be afraid of.
No, there isn't. And if our problems are winning 1-0, then that's not too bad, is it? When Germany's problems are losing to Colombia and USA's problems are struggling to score goals in their last two group games and struggling to stay in a competition, then, you know, we're not doing too badly, are we, I suppose, out of it, or when you look at it like that. Terry says, I watched the programme today. The USA are hating big time on the women's USA team as none of them are singing their national anthem. You see, I don't know whether a lot of that, they've got a few issues, haven't they, the USA team with the federation and whatever, and is that a distraction for them, too much of a distraction for them, you know, and is that why their performances have been quite poor so far, apart from the first game? So, yeah, that's an issue, isn't it? I think that you can't, and I do think that, you know, there's been, over the last year or so in particular, there's been a lot of politics being brought into women's football, for one thing or another, with money, with bonuses, with all kinds of other stuff. And what I don't want to happen, certainly not for the England team, is for that to become a distraction away from what matters, which is producing, playing on the pitch, getting results, winning games and hopefully winning tournaments. And it looks like for the USA team, you get the feeling that maybe it's all a bit too much of a distraction. I think Megan Rapinoe, as great a player as she's been for the women's game, is probably the biggest disruption in that squad. And if I was their manager, I wouldn't have picked her on that basis, just because I think she causes too many problems because she wants to push all these other issues ahead of actual football on the pitch, it seems, because she's championing this, championing that, and doing all this other stuff off the pitch. And is that a distraction for the team? It may well be, because they certainly aren't performing. And, you know, from our point of view, that's great because they are one of the teams to beat in a World Cup. And if they have a bad tournament and get knocked out, it makes it easier for us to go further, doesn't it? So I'm not going to cry too much that they're struggling, but it could well be, yeah, the distractions and say not singing the national anthem is all part of that, isn't it? It's, you know, I think when you're at a football tournament representing your country, you've got to just concentrate on the football. You've got to leave the rest of it behind, leave that at home. Have those issues before if you need to, and have them when you get back afterwards. Yeah, definitely. Don't ignore the issues completely. But while a tournament's on, you've got to leave that at home. Get on with doing the best job you can while you're there. Try and win a tournament, and then worry about the rest of it afterwards. And it doesn't look like the USA are doing that. And it might end up costing them. So that's their problem, isn't it? So they'll have to sort that out as it goes along if they get the chance. Bongo going and says, "Have a good evening, everyone. Going to bed. Okay, mate. Take it easy. We'll speak very soon, I'm sure." He says, leave those likes for every like South Korea score for Germany. No, I don't think that's very likely, is it? Maybe for every like, that's how many England score against Nigeria. So we'll have that instead. Wayne says that Alex Morgan's still living off that tea sipping soda. But yeah, to be honest with you, since that last World Cup, her career's gone a little bit flat, hasn't it? I think, really. She's not been in the limelight as much. She's still a good player. She came to WSL briefly, didn't she? Didn't really do an awful lot. But yeah, she maybe is still living off that a little bit. I think the USA team generally are living off past glories, aren't they? It seems at the moment. But anyway, we shall see. Terry says there, they said it's all down to Megan Rapinoe and transgender. Yeah, exactly. I think Megan Rapinoe is the biggest issue that the American team have got, you know, just because distractions away from football, it seems to be. But anyway, LG says there, as an African, I'm behind Nigeria versus England. Sorry, guys. Well, no, that's fine. You know, you can get behind your nation. We don't mind. You know, we'll let you off. As you know, you're going to be disappointed on Monday when England win, but, you know, that's fine. You can support your team. That's fine. But no, I mean, yeah, some of the big nations have got problems, and that's good for us because we seem to now have united together and we look stronger than we've ever done. And that's great going into knockout stage. To be honest with you, I don't want to get too ahead of myself. And I'm certainly still not feeling the total Euros vibe from the team quite yet. Today was very, very positive, very enjoyable, and a massive step in the right direction. But let's see what if we build on this going forward. If we play similar against Nigeria and we're in the quarterfinals, then I'm going to start believing that we've got a hell of a chance looking at how some of the other teams are struggling. So, let's see what happens. You know, I'm sure a USA will still be a danger in the tournament. That they're through and they'll probably get through again, and they'll be there or thereabouts. And you expect Germany will as well qualify and then push on. so that's how it is. Terry says there, LG, as long as you're a Gooner, it's fine. Exactly. Yeah, it's definitely fine. For one game, we'll let you off. But England are going to win, obviously. But anyway, we shall see what happens. But yeah, I mean, it's the World Cup starting to, I say, this is the time now when I really start to, tournaments really take off for me when you get to the final group games and then the knockout stage, because that's what it's all about. One defeat and you're finished, you're home and you're done. And everything just is so much more important. So I'm really looking forward, obviously, to Monday. Well, the weekend, because the knockout games start on Saturday, don't they? So it's going to be exciting to see the knockout stage kick off. And, yeah, there's still one or two issues to be decided in the group stage, yeah, isn't there? And we still might have some late drama in the groups as well before we get into the knockout stage. But we're through. We know who we're playing as well. We're playing Nigeria. We're happy with that. I'm not too happy about the kickoff time on Monday because I won't be able to watch it, which is a bit of a shame. But you know, that's just the way it goes, I suppose. It doesn't matter as long as we go through. So yeah, a really, really positive day today, wasn't it? It was a great performance. Really enjoyed that game. And I'm going to go and watch the highlights in a minute as well, just to refresh myself again with it and enjoy it again, because it was so good the first time. And I say, we've got some big games coming up as well, haven't we, over the next couple of days, as well as the group stage gets right winds down to a conclusion and we get to see the full draw for the last 16. Some interesting ties there, isn't there, already, actually? Because Spain are playing Switzerland, aren't they? I just had it up a minute ago. Where is it? Let me get the fixtures up again. So far, then, what we've got is the games that we definitely know about. Switzerland against Spain, that is on Saturday. That's the first game. Then, obviously, Holland are through and they'll be playing the runners-up in Group G. So we'll have to see how that one goes. Japan are playing Norway. You'd imagine Japan will probably win that, the form that they're in. Norway have been a bit hit and miss, haven't they? So I think that one's probably going to go Japan. Obviously, United States will play the winners of Group G, which, again, at this moment in time, we're not sure who that's going to be. Could that be Sweden? Is Sweden Group G? Yeah, Sweden's Group G, isn't it? See, I think the way Sweden are playing, I think Sweden could beat the USA, you know.
Yeah, if they continue playing and so clinical with corners and Amanda, Amanda hits them in. So, yeah, they don't have to be afraid of the United States. So far, Sweden is doing very well in the group stage.
Yeah, no, they are. They look a good side, Sweden. So they could cause USA problems. Obviously, we've got Australia against Denmark, the other two teams from our groups. Denmark haven't really impressed me, if I'm honest. I think Australia will beat them. I really do. I think, you know, Australia have got the crowd behind them. They've got a bit of momentum now as well from that last game where they played so well against Canada. And I think that they've had their issue against Nigeria. They recovered from that. And I think they'll go through in that one. Obviously, our game against Nigeria and the others haven't been decided yet. It's winners of Group F, runners up Group H, and the other way around, the other two games there. So, yeah, it's starting to take shape now, isn't it, this draw? It's looking quite interesting. And I think Spain, Netherlands, Japan, maybe Sweden, Australia and us will probably be through. And then we'll see who's in the other games first before we can really look at them. But, yeah, it's going to start to get interesting then, isn't it? But let's not. I'm not taking Nigeria lightly. I certainly aren't. But we'll see what happens there. LG says there, hopefully, Benyana, South Africa can somehow win versus Italy to join Nigeria at round of 16 to make Africa proud. Well, they potentially could, I suppose. You know, Italy are certainly beatable, aren't they? They are certainly beatable, Italy. So, you know, you never know. But, yeah, another group to be decided. That's Sweden's group, isn't it? LG says, Esme Brooks to Arsenal ASAP. Well, we need some more players at Arsenal, don't we? We definitely do. I think we need another defender and potentially midfield as well, don't we, to strengthen the squad. I'm sure we will. There's not going to be anything happening at the moment when the World Cup's on, is there, to be fair? Jonas is busy in the studio anyway, so he's got another job to do. So he's not doing anything with transfers at the minute, is he? So I'm sure once the World Cup's finished, we might start to see a few more. But we'll look ahead to that, obviously, the new season and everything else when we get a bit close. Once the World Cup's finished, we'll then start looking more at the start of the WSL season and building up towards that. Because there's still so much to look forward to in this World Cup, isn't there, over the next few weeks. So we're kind of getting excited for it now. Now the real England have turned up, shall we say. The real England are here. And they certainly produced a fantastic performance today. And, yeah, as we said, let's hope we're going to build on this and push forward and keep keep growing and keep improving. If we do, we'll have a hell of a chance. Who's your money on now, Andreas, to win it now? Having seen, you know, most of the group stage now, who do you think's likely to be the winners at the end of it all?
In the end, the winners in the end. Oh,
yeah.
Before the tournament started, I said the USA will win again, but no, I don't think they are the top favorites. Best performance so far was from Japan. Most impressive. Yeah, so they seem to be very fresh and dynamic. And let's see whether they can continue in the knockout stage this way. And of course, the hosts, Australia. It will be good for the tournament if they go through, if they stay in the tournament as long as possible. And yeah, just for the atmosphere in the country or in the stadiums, it would be good to see Australia at least at the semifinals. So they would be in it until the last weekend. We have our chance there. The Netherlands are so far really good. Maybe Sweden, but after today's match, I say it's the first time that I say that England could reach the semi-final. Why not? Before the match or last week, I said I don't see us in the semi-finals, but after today, why not? If we continue this way, if we keep on developing and rolling and going on, yeah, let's beat Nigeria, and then maybe it's Brazil or Colombia in the quarterfinal. Yeah, why not beating them? If you remember the Arnold Clark, no, it was not Arnold Clark, it was the Finalissima when we dominated Brazil in the first half. Let's see. It's difficult to say who will win, but these are the teams that made the most impression. Japan, Netherlands, Australia, England.
Yeah. Sweden. I think Sweden have been good as well, yeah. So, but no, I mean, I think that I've not seen anybody in this World Cup yet that I would be overly concerned if England had to play them later on. There's nobody I don't think we could beat if we play at our level that we can play at, the level that we played at today, bits and pieces against Denmark and what we've done previously. I don't think there's anybody that I would be worried about thinking, oh my God, we're going to struggle to win. I think that we could have a great chance now against anybody. I think our confidence is back. We seem to be more united as a team again. And it's going to take, I think it's going to take something really special from somebody to knock us out. I really do. You know, we've got this momentum now, you know, 3 wins out of 3, and we're growing. And yeah, we look to be as good as anybody at the minute. LG says that Amanda and Russo on the end of corners is going to be chaos. So excited. Yeah. I mean, Amanda's reminds me a little bit of, you know, obviously Rafaela Souza coming up for corners and getting on the end of scoring a few big goals. Amanda seems to be able to do that. You know, if you get the right delivery in, I mean, she's such a danger, isn't she? I mean, some of these goals at this World Cup have just been brilliant. So, yeah, that's going to be, I think we'll have to work on our corners with Amanda in the team to make sure that we get the best opportunity for her to get on the end of them and score goals, because clearly she can and she will, because she's done it already. So, yeah, that's going to be exciting to see, isn't it, next season. We're going to play maybe slightly a different way next year a little bit to, you know, to fit in these new players, and hopefully one or two more new players as well. But we'll see. Terry says, 100%, Andreas, today's game has brought that bit of we can do this back again. Yeah, no, exactly. I think so as well. We always knew, didn't we, that England had the quality to be able to potentially win a World Cup. We know that we've got the quality to do it. It looked as though there were maybe a few other issues going on that were maybe going to hold us back. But today, it's back. The real England, if you like, are back. And I see no reason why we can't. I'm not saying we're going to win it, because I think it's difficult to say at this point in a World Cup. It's hard to say. But I think we've got a chance. We can win this World Cup. Looking at the teams that's in it, looking at the way we're set up now, we can win it. And let's hope that that we can go as far as we can. But yeah, today's certainly given us all a lot more belief and confidence, hasn't it, in this team, that we can you know, that Serena's gonna, is she gonna do back-to-back Euros and World Cup finals with Holland? Is she gonna do back-to-back Euros and World Cup finals with England? Well, that would be some achievement, wouldn't it? You know what I mean? That would be incredible, absolutely incredible to do that twice. And maybe this time going that one better in the World Cup final. Let's hope so. But let's not get carried away. We still got to get past Nigeria first, which won't be easy. So let's beat them first, and then we can start to think more about the final stages of the tournament coming after that. But yeah, today was a good day. England were brilliant today. Really good performance and great goals, which will long live in the memory. And yeah, we look forward to Monday, and we look forward now to seeing how the rest of the group stage finishes and see who's going to join us in that last round of last 16, which is going to be fun. Maybe one or two big names might not be there. Who knows? We'll have to see. LG says Japan, the team of the tournament so far. They've played the best football. I agree. Definitely. Yeah. In the conversation for one of the favourites, don't underestimate them. Former world champions. Absolutely not. No. I do feel a little bit though, when Japan won the World Cup, women's football is slightly different. It's a little bit more physical now. Can they cope with a physical team? They're very quick. They're very skillful, but they might find it more of a struggle against a more physical team, perhaps. You know, but we'll see. They've certainly played the most exciting football so far. Absolutely, I've enjoyed watching them, as I did in the last World Cup. They were unlucky to get knocked out of that, wasn't they? They played some great football in that World Cup and ended up unfortunate to go. And it may well happen again this time. But yeah, they've been great to watch. But if we had to play Japan at any point, I don't know how the draw works out, whether we can play them at any time before the final. But if we were to play them, it'd be a good game. But I think we could beat them because our style of play, I think, would be a good counter to them, because I think they have more physicality, the way that we, you know, we close down early, high up the pitch and stuff like that. You know, Japan would have to try to play through that, wouldn't they? And although they're capable of doing it, I'm not sure. I think we could. That would be a decent game for us to face, actually. It'd be a good game to watch, apart from anything else. But I don't know. We'd have to see. But I'm not sure if we can play them, can we? I don't know how to draw.
If we meet Japan, it will be in the final. So let's hope that we will face them in the tournament. Yes.
would that be a good final, that, wouldn't it, actually? Even against Japan in the final, that would be a great final. I'd look forward to that, actually. LG says, if Japan wins, they'll play the winner of Sweden v... Oh, would they? Japan against USA, potentially. That could be interesting, couldn't it? I mean, you'd imagine Sweden from set pieces. They're going to be twice the size of Japan, aren't they? So that's going to be a problem for Japan to deal with Sweden set pieces, probably. But I think Japan could certainly beat the USA at the moment. Terry says, we have Serena, everything will be fine. Yeah, I'm starting to believe that again. I was a little bit worried. She was concerning me a little bit in the last, you know, five or six games, either side of the start of the World Cup, but... she definitely got her smile back today. She's got her buzz back today. And I'm sure you're right. I'm sure everything will be fine with Serena in charge of everything. So that's going to be good. So, yeah, brilliant today. England are, you know, comfortable winners of the group. 9 points out of nine. In the end, you know, we scored 8 goals in the group, conceded just 1. And I think before the group started, we'd have been quite happy with that, wouldn't we? Let's be honest. We wasn't expecting 6 of them in one game. But, you know, that's... that's pretty much as good as we could have hoped for, isn't it, really? 8 goals, 9 points, 1 conceded. It's been a great group stage, isn't it?
Yes, I think what can you expect more in a group stage than 3 matches, 3 wins? That's the perfect group stage. Of course, it was a sloppy beginning and we had our problems, but before the tournament started, we would have been very happy if someone told us we will win all 3 matches and go through without any problem with the goal difference from 8-1. It's perfect, and we have our problems behind us. Other teams will face some problems, maybe Japan or Sweden, or they will face the problems in the knockout matches. We had our problems. We found together, and the togetherness was could be seen today. So after today's match, I'm really full of hopes that this could be our tournament.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Well, I really do. I'm really confident now that we're going to go a long way now in this tournament. Whether we can actually win it or not is difficult to say. So many things can happen in knockout football, but yeah. LG says that Amanda will feast v Japan. Yeah, you would imagine she'll be a threat against if she has to play against Japan from those corners. She's got about a 5-inch advantage before she starts against most of them, haven't she, I suppose. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see. Yeah, there's lots of great football to come in this World Cup. And of course, don't forget as well, this weekend, Arsenal men are back in action in the Community Shield. The start of the season against Man City on Sunday. So, and then, of course, a week after, it's the start of the Premier League. We have the World Cup still going on. So there's going to be loads of different stuff coming up on the channel over the next few weeks. We're going to be looking ahead to the Community Shield on Friday. We're going to have a Charity Shield preview. We're going to look back on the pre-season games. Obviously, the Emirates Cup is tomorrow as well. So we're going to look at that. And we're going to also sort of look at, you know, the players in that we've bought, the players that have gone, and who else is coming in. So that's all on Friday. So join us for that. That's going to be good. And of course, next Monday night, we'll have the watch along at the Community Shield on Sunday first, of course. And then on Monday night, we'll be here again, looking back on the England game against Nigeria, hopefully looking back on another England victory as we move into the quarterfinals. So that'll be Monday night. And then next Tuesday is the return of the Arsenal review. New host Adam will be looking back at the Community Shield, hopefully a first trophy of the season. Of course, looking ahead to the start of the Premier League, the Nottingham Forest game, all that stuff, that's on Tuesday. So there's a lot more stuff now starting to come on the channel over the next week or so as we head towards the start of the Premier League season and, of course, the rest of this World Cup. And then after that, the start of the WSL season is coming, everything. So it's going to be mad. There's going to be loads of stuff coming up. So, yeah, stay with us for all of that because it's going to be great. Terry says, another great show, Richard and Andreas. LG, good to have you in the chat. Yeah, it's always good to see LG around. And I say, I'm sure once we get going again in a new season, we'll get the familiar faces coming back in the chat as well and joining us, as I'm sure will be the case. Terry says, yeah, come on, you England girls. Come on, you Guna girls. Russo, indeed, yeah. We loved the Russo goal today, didn't we? Brilliant to see her smiling like that. Hopefully the first of many Russo goals this season that we're going to enjoy as well. I'm sure there will be a few coming once the season starts as well. So, yeah. Anyway, it's been great tonight, Andreas. Good to have you on board. Have you enjoyed the show?
Yeah, of course. As I said, it was just a relaxed talk, and it was always easier to have the show after a big win. And so I enjoyed it, and it's a pleasure to talk with you and with Terry and LG and all the others who are watching us, hopefully watching us.
Yeah, exactly. And obviously on Monday we'll be back. Maybe Amar might be able to join us. Maybe Matt might be able to join us. We'll have to see how they fix for work and stuff. But yeah, I'm not going to be able to see the game live on Monday, unfortunately. But yeah. I'll catch as much of it as I can, and we'll be here anyway talking about it. And hopefully it'll be another win, and England will be through. But we'll have to see. So yeah, I'll be back on Friday for the Community Shield preview. That's going to be good. So join me for that. I say Sunday for the game, and then I say Monday we'll be back for England against Nigeria, the Lionesses against Nigeria. That is going to be an exciting game, isn't it? We're going to look back on that on Monday night. Hopefully, I'll say another big England performance. So thank you very much, everyone, for watching tonight. Obviously, thanks to Andreas, as always, for coming on and sharing his thoughts on it all. It's been brilliant. I say hopefully we'll get Amar and Matt back involved very soon as well, because they're just busy. You know, they're busy guys. What can you say? You know, they've got a lot on their plate. They can't always come and see us, unfortunately. Terry says, take care, everyone. Stay safe and healthy night and night. Indeed, yeah, and yourself, Terry. Thanks to everyone. I say in the chat tonight, LG, Bongo Guna was in, Wayne as well. One or two others. So yeah, thanks to all you guys as well. So yeah, I will see you on Friday. Enjoy the rest of the week, whatever you're doing. And we will see you very soon. And of course, as always, come on, you Lionesses, let's do this. The World Cup is ours. It's coming home again, 2 years running. It's going to be good. See you later, guys. Take it easy.
Bye. Lionesses, you come so far, but don't forget who you are. Your roots are yours, but also ours. Giving hope to rising stars. Lionesses, here we go. 2-0.